together on a Sunday morning in church. Amen. I want to take a moment just to go through some announcements and things, and I want to take a second or two just to acknowledge if we have any first-time friends today. If you've joined us today, you've been invited, or you just saw the sign, or you saw it somewhere, and you're here today, and it's your very first time, thank you so very much for joining us today. I'm glad that you're here. And we have this little promise book that's a gift that we give out to all of our new friends. And I will be at the back right corner back here at the end of the service. Stop by, shake my hand, introduce yourself. Let me give you a little gift. And just as our way of saying, we appreciate you so very, very much. Announcements that are going on, please take some time to look at the announcement page on the back of your bulletin. A lot of things going on there that some that I'm sure that you'll want to be involved in. And especially, I want to make one special announcement. Tonight is the concert at 5 o'clock. The Tribute Quartet will be here. We've been in contact with them. They'll be in this afternoon to set up. And we've got a little video clip that we want to share with them today. So take a listen to this song. It's just a part of it, but it'll whet the appetite for tonight.
Say you don't see many miracles these days, and I see so many broken ones just waiting for their answers to come. To those who've grown weary, I've got good news, so hold on. Strong, keep trusting, it's true. The healer hasn't lost his touch. He's still the Almighty, the unchanging God. Power, he's still showing up. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know this much, the healer hasn't lost his touch.
Amen. Just a little bit of that song. Maybe they'll do that one tonight for us. But come on out. The doors open at 4:30. The concert starts at 5 o'clock. We'd love to just fill this room up with people that just want to worship and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a premier group, and we're glad to have them. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing upon this service today. Father, we thank you and praise you and give you honor this morning for all that you are and all that you do. And we're thankful that you're the healer that's not lost his touch. God, touch us today as we gather together, as we worship and honor you. May you be exalted and glorified. We offer you our lives, and we offer you this service. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Are you ready to sing this morning? Are you ready to sing and worship the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Yes, there we go. Had to wake you up a little bit. We're going to start off with the Lily of the Valley. Well, sing, I have a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The Lily of the Valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the Lily of the Valley, the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And he all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. In the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore. Jesus, I shall safely reach the goal. He's the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And he will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. And a wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up in glory, I'll see his blessed sight. His rays of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he made the plan Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning. He painted up my sin and won the victory.
We'll sing it out.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood, and he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood, and I heard about his healing, of his precious blood revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me. And I heard about the mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. And about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing.
If you're able, will you stand with me and sing this verse again, or this chorus again? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And after we're done singing this chorus, turn to your neighbor and say, aren't you thankful we have the victory in Jesus this morning? Amen.
Oh, victory in Jesus.
Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. And he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Greet your neighbor right now and tell them you're glad they're here this morning. Amen. You may take a seat. Amen. We have the choir singing a special number for us. Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Enjoy as they sing this morning.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch. We're going to sing a couple songs, some worship courses this morning. And the first one, most of you'll know, what a beautiful name it is. And the second one, I'm assuming there's a lot of people that know it, but we haven't sang it here. And it's entitled I Speak Jesus. It's a powerful song. And if you know it, sing out loud this morning. If you don't, you'll get it. It repeats itself a couple times, so you'll get it by the end. Fake it, I guess, if you don't know it. But let's just worship the Lord this morning, because he's worthy of our praise. Amen. Let's worship the Lord as we sing.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater, and what could say? Name it is the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave, and the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again, and you have no right. You have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. And what a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name.
Declaring there is hope in there.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Make every stronghold shine through the shadows. Burn like fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, there's something about that name, the name of Jesus. There's no one like it. There's no power greater. There's no God that could ever compare, that man could manufacture, that could come and stand against the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's life. There's life. Whatever we need today, He is our source. We're going to go to prayer this morning, and I ask you, as I do many Sundays, how many here today came with a burden in your heart? You just need to get a hold of Jesus today. Let me see your hands. Sure, across this room, front to back, side to side. We're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for the needs in the bulletin today. We've added some new names. Continuing to remember David Winter and his family today. I didn't bring my bulletin up, so I don't have the names with me, but we had someone that went home to their eternal home. We're praying for that family today. But listen, let's focus our minds on Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Would you say that name with me as a congregation? Jesus. Oh, there's so much power, so much glory. So much authority. He's our all in all this morning. Nothing can compare to His name. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the name. We think back 2,000 years ago when Jesus was being planned to enter into our world as the God-man, as a human putting on flesh. And You went to Joseph and You said, You'll call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. He's our Savior today. You're our Savior, Lord Jesus. There's not a sin that could be committed. Nothing that we could do that could keep us from You if we would just turn our hearts to You. And so this morning we come to You, Lord. Lord, so many hands that were lifted with burdens and needs. And God, You know intricately every need that's represented. Every hand that was raised, God, Your heart is beating with their heart for their need today. God, I'm thankful that You are the God of power and the God of healing and the God of life. And so, Lord, I pray today that You would reach down, that today would be the day that breakthrough comes, that every addiction would go, that every trial, every temptation, every problem, every heartache, every discomfort, God, that is working against us from just walking in Your joy, walking in Your fullness, that it would go today. Father, I pray for the needs in the bulletin, those names that we've listed, and Lord, those that have lost a family member, a loved one that are grieving today, we just pray over them. We pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding would just permeate their lives and their hearts today. God, we just pray that You would give peace to this congregation. I speak peace in the name of Jesus. I just speak the name of Jesus over us today. God, You know everything that we need, and we certainly have great needs. We need You more than anything else. And so, Lord, we love You today, and we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for giving us that name. We're thankful today that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thanks for being our Lord this morning. Thank You that we could call on You. We can make you Lord of our lives even today. We don't have to wait till that day when it'll be too late for some, but today we bow our hearts and we acknowledge you as Lord of our lives. Continue to bless the service today. Bless our preaching. Bless our word, God. May it just permeate our hearts and change us and make us more like you. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you just sing that? There's something about that name. We don't have the words for it, but I know that it's an old chorus. We know it. Let's just sing it together.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Master. Master, Savior, Savior, Jesus,
like the fragrance
after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that.
And amen and amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're glad to be a Christian today, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad that we have Jesus in our lives. Amen. If you have a Bible with you this morning, let's turn to Luke chapter 14. We'll be in Luke 14 this morning. And we are in part two of a series, just a short little two-week series. I started last week, and really why it became a series is I just had too much material to cover in a half an hour. And so I'm glad that we made it two parts because there's so much to this. And the title is Fan or Followers? What does it mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does that really mean? And we began that last week and talked about it. And Siri's trying to get me to listen. I have my phone on. I want to read something in just a little bit. And so, Siri, you better behave. Don't be trying to preach my sermon for me. Amen. Well, you know, the dictionary defines fans as enthusiastic admirers. That's what the dictionary says a fan is, an enthusiastic admirer. And I'm going to tell you, and you already know this because we're in part two, that Jesus was never interested in having fans. He's not looking for fans to join his church. You see, when he defines what kind of relationship he wants with us, enthusiastic admirer is not one of the options. He's not looking for that. And my concern today as I survey and evaluate what I see going on in our churches in America and many of our churches, they've gone from being sanctuaries to being stadiums. Every week, fans come to the stadium. They come to the sanctuary where they cheer for Jesus, but they have no real interest in following him. And I believe that the biggest threat to the church in America, especially today, is fans who call themselves Christians, but they're not really interested in following Jesus. They want a part. They want to be somewhat involved. You know, it's kind of, we said last week that so many today are part of the subculture of Christianity. You ask around America and you'll find that about 70% of Americans will say that they're a Christian. But you don't have 70% of the American population in church on a Sunday morning worshiping Jesus like we did this morning. They're nowhere to be found. You see, there are people that they just want to be close enough to Jesus. They've heard the message. They've heard the story. They want heaven over hell. They want the benefits, the blessings that come with being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so they want to be close enough to get the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything substantial from them. When Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment of all, he said this, and this was part of last week. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And so we're to love God with all we've got. That's not really an option for us. We don't get to pick and choose and say, well, I just want this little bit of Jesus. I'm going to give Jesus just this one little corner in my heart, and the rest I'm going to keep for myself. You see, we're to love him with everything that we've got, and that describes someone who is chasing after Jesus. Now, last week we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. We brought that story out of John chapter 6 and how the crowds were following Jesus, large crowds. Probably one time with the 5,000 men, there were women, there were children. Let's say that it was every man had a wife and they all had whatever kids. They had over 20,000 people sitting on the hillside near the Sea of Galilee, and they were following and they were listening to his teachings and his instructions, and they were buying into this thing. He was feeding them. He fed 5,000. He was healing the sick. They were amazed at the miracles that were taking place. But they were fans and not really followers. But that's not the only time that happened in Scripture. When crowds gathered, Jesus often said things that would send people heading for home and turning their back and going the other direction. He was not an easy preacher. He didn't just preach all the easy things of the Scriptures. He told the truth. He told the facts as they were. And I want you to look at Luke 14, beginning in verse 25. That's our text this morning. It says that there was a large crowd that was following Jesus. And he turned around to them and he said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father, your mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you don't carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. That's a tough section of Scripture to read this morning. That's a hard verse to read. And when we look at it, our minds can start to wander a little bit in a good way. And we say, wait a minute, God says we're to love him and we're to love people. Who's my neighbor? And now Jesus is telling us to hate our mom, our dad, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, people around us, and even our own lives. And remember last week I said, if you don't love yourself, you can't love someone else. Is there a major contradiction going on here? We have to ask ourselves that. Jesus said, if you don't hate everyone else, you can't follow me. You can't be my disciple. Well, I looked that up this week, and this is where I want to go to, and just I want to read something that somebody else said that was so good, and I think it'll help us understand what Jesus was saying. Because in the literal sense of hating something, the Bible says, if I hate someone in my heart, I'm a murderer, right, in my heart. So we have those scriptures, and then we have Jesus saying this. So I want you to understand the truth of it, what the word hate in Luke 14:26 really means and how it's used. And so there's a gentleman that wrote an article. His name's W.E. Howell. I don't know who he is, but I like what he said. And he wrote a whole article and he got into all this, and near the end of it he said this, and listen to this. This will put this into perspective so we can move on and understand what Jesus is really saying. Applying this principle of hate to the natural man may not say that a man, in order to be a disciple of Christ, or may we not say, is what he's saying. In other words, he's saying, in order to be a disciple of Christ, we must not allow anything in the nature of sin or a sinner to stand between us and God, or to interfere with our full fellowship with God. In other words, a disciple of Christ must forsake everything and every person that stands in the way of his full fellowship with God. If my father or my mother, my brother or my sister hinder me from following or obeying God, I must disregard that father and that mother or that brother and that sister and let them be as though they did not exist as far as my relationship to Christ is concerned. I must choose between fellowship with God and fellowship with the unbeliever or the sinner. To use a strong term, I must, and he has in quotes, hate, in this sense, everything and everybody that separates me from God. On the other hand, this hate must take the same direction as it does with God, namely that I am willing to lay down my life for the sinner for the sake of bringing him into relationship with God and with myself, that is called love in the deepest sense. And some of that was from earlier, and I don't have time to really read all of that to you today, but does that make sense to you now? Is that if there's anything in this world, whether it's a relationship with a family member, whether it is just something that we're involved in, we belong to a club or something, if it's affecting our relationship and keeping us from following God, it has to go. If we're going to be a follower and a disciple. Jesus wasn't mincing words here. This is a tough passage of Scripture. And there's thousands of people. It says that there was a large crowd that was following him. And he turns around to them and he gives them this whole speech. And he tells them that they have to hate their moms. And he tells them that they need to carry their own cross. Well, that's one way of thinning out a crowd, isn't it? I'll tell you what, when you start preaching hard stuff, and sometimes you have to, but when you preach the hard stuff, some people just don't want to hear it. They just want that easy believism. There was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, you've heard of him, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived in Germany under Hitler. We've talked about him in illustration before, and under Hitler's dictatorship, and he was against all of that, against all that Hitler was for. He was a Nazi dissident. And he wrote a book during the time that Hitler was persecuting the Jews and others, and it's a classic. It's called The Cost of Discipleship. Some of you have read that book. And in that book, Bonhoeffer writes, he says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Now, that doesn't mean physically die. It doesn't mean come to Christ, take your own life and be done with it and go to heaven. It's talking about dying to the world, dying to the things that would pull us in and pull us away from God, whether it's a person, whether it's a thing, whether it's an activity, whatever it might be. And so Bonhoeffer, in essence, is restating what Jesus said here just in the verses we read. If we don't carry our own cross, which is, the cross is an implement of death, right? If we don't die to self, if we don't lay our lives down every morning, every day before the Lord and follow Him, He's saying we can't be His disciple. Now, a statement like that'll thin out a crowd. But Jesus knew what He was doing. He knew what He was saying. He wasn't looking for fans. He was looking for true, genuine followers. And the truth is, we can admire Jesus even enthusiastically and still not be a follower. From our scripture text last Sunday where Jesus fed the 5,000, we learned that fans were in it for themselves. Followers are in it for God. We're in this world to serve the Lord and please Him and honor Him every day of our lives. Fans want the goodies. Followers just want more of Jesus. Fans, they go about looking for the free lunch, what Jesus can do for them in a moment, right now. And you know you're a fan if it's really all about you, getting what you want right now in this moment, in this life. It's like I said, and I don't ever slight people, but I can tell you that there's a book that's out there. It's been out there for a while, Your Best Life Now. Some of you may have read it. I'm so against that. This is not our best life now. Our best life is coming. And if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, if we don't remember that this life, whether it's 80 years or 90 years or 100 years of living on this life, it goes by just that quick. But eternity is forever. And we may go through hardships and difficulties and problems in this world, but if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we're a follower and a disciple of Him, we're going to be so thankful one day when we step into eternity, and for all of eternity, we have our best eternal life then. Fans come and go. Followers stay steady to the end, and they gain the prize of eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13 that he who stands firm to the end, will be saved. You see, if it's all about you, if it's all about me, what we want now, if all you want is to be close enough to Jesus to get the benefits, make me happy, Jesus. Give me some joy, Jesus. Oh, will you heal me today? My head hurts today, or I've got this problem, the doctor. Will you just touch me? And we just chase Jesus for what he can do for us, but we're not close enough that it requires anything of us. We're just a fan. But if it's all about God, then we are truly followers. We're disciples. And maybe that's why Jesus was never really impressed with the size of crowds. You see, he knew that they were temporary. He knew that they were just fans, and fans are fickle, but followers are faithful. And when the fans left, Jesus turned to his disciples that day when he fed those 5,000 by the sea, and he said, "What about you guys? What about you 12? Are you leaving too?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life." The Bible tells us that when Jesus was starting his ministry, way back in the beginning, you can go to Matthew, you can go to Mark or Luke, and you can see. And he's calling his disciples. And he calls Peter and Andrew, two brothers that were fishermen. And he calls James and John, two other brothers that were partners with Peter and Andrew. And then he calls Matthew, the tax collector. And what the Bible says is that they left everything. Thank you. They left everything. And they followed Jesus. See, Christ is asking us to give up our lives and take on His life and live His life in us and through us and let Him lead the way in everything. These guys were all in. With all of their hearts, they gave up their very livelihoods even. They were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. He was a wealthy guy because tax collectors were the millionaires and the billionaires of that day because they could take in for Rome and take in extra and say as much as they wanted, and nobody could find really an issue with that because Rome would, the soldiers would go after them if they did. And so they left everything. They left their livelihoods, their personal ambitions, their dreams, their goals to follow Jesus. And today I want us to honestly search our hearts. And I want us to ask ourselves, am I a follower of Jesus? Am I all in? Am I making an honest effort to love God with everything that I've got? Am I really trying to live for God? Now, regarding true and false disciples, Jesus, and this is another tough verse, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord," they had the right lingo, but it was in their hearts. "Not everyone says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will." See that? "The will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied, we drove out demons, we performed many miracles, and I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers." Many, Jesus said, many will say, not a few, but many. Jesus is saying that on Judgment Day, people who thought that they were following Jesus will discover that they weren't because they really never had Jesus in their heart. They never really surrendered their life to Jesus. They didn't really make that commitment. Now listen this morning, I'm not trying to make you doubt your faith. I am not trying to make you doubt whether or not you are truly a Christian. Only you know that. And the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is what? Not Savior there, but Lord. The Lord means Master. That means He's in charge and I'm the servant. If we confess Him as Lord, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we're going to be saved. What I am trying to do today is make us think about our lives and evaluate where we're standing and how we're living, because for us, I mean, we're in our golden years. We're at the last few chapters of our life, and we're going to see Jesus sooner than some of these young ones and kids that are with us today. And we're here. Are we doing the best we can? Are we going 100% for God, or have we just kind of parked God somewhere some years back and we just think, I've got enough of God. I'm just going to coast my way into heaven. And the sad thing is we'll get there and there'll be a judgment for what we did, how we served, how we followed him. We're in heaven, but our works will be judged, and the hay and the wood and the stubble is going to burn up. And I want you and I to be people, when we're standing together as Nettles, if we get to stand as Nettles Island Church when we get there, I want to be standing there and I want to be going, look at these guys, God. Look at the gold and look at the silver and look at the precious stones. Look at how they loved you and how they served you and how they gave their lives. Their lives weren't about them. That was all about you and advancing your kingdom. You see, that's the challenge. I want to be there. I want to hear well done, good and faithful. And I want that for every person in my hearing this morning. So real quick this morning, what does it look like to follow Jesus? Well, first of all, four things. But first of all, a follower of Jesus has an authentic relationship with God. Remember Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Relationship is about knowing each other. Relationship is more than just, well, I read through the Bible one time, or I read my Bible sometimes, and I know about Jesus. I read the red letters. I understand who he is. He's saying, I never knew you. See, the relationship is both. It's two-sided. And you've got to ask yourself this morning, does God know me? Does he really know me? Are we in fellowship? Are we in relationship? And so, first of all, an authentic a follower has an authentic relationship with God. You love God with all you've got. You know God. God knows you. You talk to each other. You have relationship. And you know that you can't, you know that you can, and you don't want to live not even one day without being in his presence. You wake up in the morning and say, God, thank you for this day. Help me to walk with you today. The second thing is a follower is growing. We're growing. We never get to the point where we're, well, I'm 60 years old, I'm 70 years old, I'm 80 years old, I've done all the learning, all the growing, I don't need, no. A follower is always growing and becoming more like Jesus. And so when we come to know the Lord, the first thing that changes in us is us. He begins changing us and making us, our character changes, our nature changed. And so we become like him. We're becoming new and different. Where old things have passed away, the Bible says, and all things become new. And so God is at work within our lives on a regular basis every day, and we're becoming more loving. We're becoming more joyful. We're becoming more peaceful and more kind, and we're becoming more self-controlled. Where the fruit of the Spirit is growing in us. The third thing that identifies a follower is that they are building healthy relationships with other people. You can't really be in a good standing with God if you've got somebody that you hate. Bible says, if I say I hate you, that's like raka in the Aramaic, and it's like the same as if you say I want you dead. I'd rather you be murdered. So we've got to have healthy relationships. Our relationship with God, it changes us. And the new you has now becomes better in relationships with others. We're better in our relationships with our spouses. We're better in our relationship with our moms and our dads and our friends and our neighbors. And then the fourth thing is followers will use their gifts to serve others. We're servants. We're servants. Yeah, we're king's kids, but we're servants. The disciples served. They showed us the way. The apostles, they served the Lord all the days of their lives. And so if we're a follower of Jesus, we're using our abilities. We're using our gifts that he gave us. We're using our talents that he's given to us, and we're using them to be a blessing to others. And we're passing it on and using what God's given to us for others to bring change in a broken world. And we serve because we want to, not because we have to. We enjoy the fellowship with Jesus. And we say, you've done so much for me. You died for me. You took my place. I was going to hell, and you went to the cross and took my sins, and you died for me. How can I just live every day for you to bless you? These four points describe someone that's following Jesus. So how do we get there? Honestly, I know that when I'm preaching this, I've got areas that I've got to work on. Probably you do too. And we say, man, I'm not 100% there yet. So how do we get there? Well, first of all, the short answer is grace. The grace of God. God's grace. God will give grace where we need grace. If we reach out and say, God, I need some help. The grace of God, it's by God's grace. We turn to Him in humble surrender and in faith, and we let Him forgive us, and we ask Him to work in us, and we begin to follow, and we allow Christ to live His life in us and through us. Let me give you five practical bullet points and actions of spiritual disciplines that will help us to really follow Jesus. I'm just going to name them this morning. Here they are. You want to follow Jesus? You want to grow spiritually? You want to be a follower and not a fan? First of all, meet together regularly with other followers and disciples. We're talking about being together like we are this morning. See, you've already got this one covered. You're already here, but there are people that will hit and miss. They'll come one Sunday. They'll go play golf or maybe go, ride a motorcycle or do something on another Sunday just because it's a beautiful day. But meet regularly with other followers because we're going to build each other up. We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to be there to care one for the other, to give a shoulder to lean on and cry on and be strong together. And we're going to, if we have to sometimes, say, hey, look, you can't do that. That's offensive to the kingdom. But we build each other up. The second thing is you've got to be seeking God daily in a relationship. Relationship, just imagine those of you that are married, if you spent the next 10 years and you never said another word to your husband or to your wife. You walk past each other in the kitchen, past each other down the hallway, didn't even smile at each other, just ignored each other. We'd shut down church and just have a marriage counseling center. Here's what we'd have. But, you know, we do that, maybe not for 10 years, but, you know, some of us, we just, where's my Bible? It's time to go to church. I got to find my Bible. We haven't even found it all week since we put it somewhere after last Sunday. Seeking God daily, talking to God, fellowship, prayer, Bible reading, study, and then serving others in church and community. We've already hit that one hard, but beginning to use your life to be a blessing to the kingdom by blessing people. And then the last two, giving of our financial resources to advance Christ's kingdom here on earth and to help those in need. And giving out of our resources, giving to make others have the ability to know Jesus Christ. And then finally, sharing our faith with our friends. And that happens in so many ways. Not everybody can get a soapbox or a wooden box and stand out on a corner with a microphone and preach and tell everybody they need Jesus Christ. There's heaven and there's hell. Not everybody can do that. Some people have been given gifts, speaking gifts and abilities to do that. And they're not shy and they're not bashful. But listen, we've got to have a heart and a passion that wants people to be saved. We've got to say, look, Jesus, you saved me, you love me, you care for me so very much, and I want the world to go to heaven, for God so loved the world, right? We've got to have a passion for lost people. We've got to want people to be saved and brought into the kingdom of God. As I close this morning, Jesus, you have to understand this, was never interested in enthusiastic admirers. He wants completely committed followers. He wants more from us than a hand raised or a prayer that's repeated at the end of a service and then it doesn't go any further than that. He's looking for more than a prayer before a meal or a Jesus fish sticker on the back of our car window somewhere, right? He wants more than fans. He wants followers who take up their cross and who are willing to die to themselves. It's okay if you have that sticker. Don't take it off. I'm just saying, he wants more than that. I see some of you laughing at. Let me illustrate this, that Jesus wants us to take up our cross. When he says our cross, he's already died on the cross. He's not looking for you to go out and physically die for him. He's looking for you to die to your will, your way, what you want out of life, and to say, God, not my will, but thine be done. Let me illustrate this. A guy by the name of Kyle Eidelman tells a story about a young man in his church that before meeting Jesus, his life consisted of, in his own words, going out, drinking, smoking pot, and chasing girls. But when he met Jesus, This guy did a 180 and went all in. And one day he asked if Kyle would meet with him and his mom. And Kyle knew that his mom went to another church in town. And he assumed that she wanted to thank him for the change in his son's life. Kyle was mentoring this young man, discipling him. But she didn't. She was upset with Kyle. She was upset with the church. And she said, he's taking this all too far. You see, she wasn't pleased with all the time that he spent at church, or that he was passing out CDs of the sermons, or that he was giving some of his hard-earned money to the church, or that he was talking about going on a missions trip. And frustrated, she said to Kyle, she said, can you please tell him that the Bible teaches everything in moderation? Can you please tell him that it doesn't have to be all or nothing? And Kyle pointed out to this mom, he said, Jesus never said everything in moderation. But he did say, if you would come after me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So here's the bottom line. Bottom line this morning is there is no believing without following. There's no salvation without surrender. There's no forgiveness without repentance. And there's no life without dying to self. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I know this is a tough word. This is these last two Sundays. But God, we're coming right out of the Bible. We're coming right from what you said, Lord Jesus. And it's our desire today to not just have a little bit of God in our lives, but to be filled up with you. That let the Holy Spirit have His way, your way, Holy Spirit, in all of us. And so this morning as we close this service, I pray for us. I start with me and I ask for every one of us, God, that you would check into our hearts, check our hearts out. And God, if you find in me or in us anywhere where we're lacking in any way, would you just challenge us today, Holy Spirit, to step up, to be all that we can be for the kingdom of God, to make the decision fully and completely that we are not fans, that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that over this congregation. I pray that blessing over them today, that we would truly hunger and thirst after you, after righteousness, that we would want to be in fellowship with you, that we want not only to know who you are mentally, but we want to have relationship, that there's fellowship going back and forth, that God, that would never be said of us on that day, I never knew you. But God, that you'll say, hey, welcome, son, welcome, daughter. Oh, I'm so glad that you're finally home. Thanks for having me in your life all through the days while you were on earth. And so, God, I pray your blessing upon this congregation, upon your people today. God, that we would decide that more than anything else that we're going to follow after Jesus. We're going to live for you, no turning back. We're going to follow you with all that we have. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? And this is our closing song today. I have decided to follow Jesus. Make this your prayer as we sing it. When we're done, you're dismissed.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Good service this morning. Go with God and just decide with your whole heart to follow Jesus completely. You are dismissed this morning.